It's wonderful to be here this morning in the midst of lovely people and loving people. And I want to say a special appreciation to Deborah Bumi and Sister Kemi and all the elders and leaders and the members. They have been wonderful. So, and they have represented you very well and on many levels, because I think I've known them for individually for over 3 decades. And well, maybe we can go down the history lane. You know, Bumi's grandfather and my father, closest of friends in our family. And their first house in Lagos, houses in Lagos, they built together. So we lived next to one another at that time. I'm talking of the 50s now, you know, and so way back 50s, and it was so wonderful. And all the family, you know, were just family. And then Bumi's dad happens to be my father's physician. He would come home, he would anything, he was just there for us. We were not there, but he was there for him. And then I also became his doctor. And he would come from Lagos, and then he would come to Ife and all that. It's a wonderful relationship. I became friends also. Maybe you didn't know this, very good friends. And then I also heard yesterday that Bumi and myself were Igbobians. Like we both went to Igbobi College. So many things. And of course, Sister Kemi was, when we started the New Covenant Church in Ife, she was part and parcel of it. And I think my wife was the first choir leader. I don't know whether we were there together. Yes, you can remember. So she was one of the choir members in 1994, 95. So we thank God we've come a long way. And here we are together again, you know, it's in this wonderful place with this wonderful congregation. I thank God for your lives. And I thank God for you. And I tell you, you are in very good place. Safe hands in the Lord and his God's people. Bumi and Kemi and the Bumi are really God's people. They love the Lord. They know the Lord. And I thank God for that. Today, I want to speak to us briefly from my heart on what I titled, How Then Shall We Live? How then shall we live? Because, you know, we live in a broken world. Many people can analyze what is happening in the world. You can see this, you can see that. And sometimes we judge what is happening in the world based on our own experiences, of course, and our own expectations. But we need to realize one fact. At times we blame ourselves, we blame others, we blame the government, we blame institutions. And blame God. But the truth of the matter is, we live in a broken world. We are all broken people living in a broken world. That's the truth, whether Christians or not. And as I began to think of, you know, what to share here, my mind went back to my own experiences, and over the years, I remember in the 70s, the fear that people had at that time was the fear of nuclear war. The big superpowers, there were two big superpowers at that time, and they were talking of, well, maybe who will strike first in the 70s. And then later on, we started to we have so many other things, you know, challenges. In the 80s, the issue of HIV and AIDS came up. Remember, in the 80s, it was a big thing. Everybody was saying, you know, where at that time we were in England, in Manchester. So it was just coming up. And then after that, you had of SARS, you know, severe acute respiratory syndrome, and thought, what's going to happen? And then we had COVID. Remember COVID? Forgotten COVID? I was to be here last year, and, you know, 2 years ago, you know, COVID just stopped us. You know, everybody, COVID was like, wow. And then we've almost all forgotten about COVID now. But imagine 2 years ago, what was happening, you know, you had to put on, and for some of us, even now, we still put on face mask, and at least in my own hospital, you have to put on face mask. Once you enter the clinic, you put on a face mask. And I still do, because I work close to the patients. So I just, and I've discovered that since then, you know, I've not been having, initially I used to have, formerly I used to have flu once in 2 months, but now since then, no, maybe once. So things are happening. And then, of course, you know, Ukraine, what's happening in Ukraine now? Anything can happen, humanly speaking. Then you know the challenge even that we have in the Western world of human sexuality, that is at the very core of human existence. You know, research going on in bionic stem cell research and the possibilities that can come from that. In fact, the more you know, the more, if you are not careful, the more frightened you will be. That's the world in which we live. And I tell you, things are happening, not just, it's happening at the local level, the national, global level. Anywhere you are, you might think you have, those of us who live in Africa, we think we have big problems in Africa. You come to Europe, you say, ah. You come to America, ah. Taking various forms. And all is happening because we live in a broken world. And that's the truth. But in the midst of this, the Lord has spoken to us. He is speaking to us, and He will continue to speak to us. He's spoken to us, especially in His word. And that's where I want us to just share with us today. How then shall we live in this broken world? And there are three areas I want to live with us. We need to walk in wisdom, man. Three areas of wisdom. And the first is the wisdom of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And I think you're going to help me to read, because I like to read scriptures. So we're going to be able to read together. Seeking what? First, the kingdom of God and what? And His righteousness. That's what we just read in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. Can we go back there again, please? Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. But seek. Are we there? Yeah, read it. Okay. I'd like us to read together, please. One, two, go. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. The wisdom of seeking first. When he says seeking first, he's talking about priority. The kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God, the kingdom consists of king and what? And His domain. So where the king rules or reigns. He says, seek that first. And then His righteousness. What is His righteousness? His. He didn't say its. We say His righteousness. His righteousness is talking about making the character of Jesus our lifestyle. Just to summarize. It says, seek first the kingdom of God. At individual level, let the king reign, again from our own hearts and in our sphere of influence. And then make the character of Jesus your lifestyle. That is summary. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And it says all these things will be what? will be added unto you. The book of Mark, chapter 3 and verse 14. Mark 3:14. Mark 3:14. Do you have it? Yeah, thank you. Then he, who is that he, Jesus, appointed 12, that what? That they might be with him. That he might send them out to preach. But the first I want us to note is appointed 12, that what? That they might be with him. That they might first be with him. Sending them out is secondary, but they must be with him first. And that's the vertical dimension we need to maintain in this world. Seeking first the kingdom of God is to seek the king of the kingdom first. And then Psalm 90, verse 1, which we know, A, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall do what? Shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. That is the vertical dimension of the king reigning, our relationship with him. Must be firm and solid. In those days, we used to learn a lot about quiet time. Quiet time, you know. Read your Bible. You remember the song? Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. If you want to. Very basic. Yet very profound. Read your Bible, pray every day if you want to grow. That's the vertical dimension. But there's also the horizontal dimension of seeking for the kingdom of God. And that's in terms of what we do to others. How we express the kingdom lifestyle to others. And mainly is in terms of sacrifice. What you do for people in the environment, in our communities, our neighbors, fellow human beings. Very important. Our priorities. I remember, you know, a lady who felt, well, I need to prioritize my time with the Lord. I miss the hustle and bustle of life. And she said, well, I'm going to make this sacrifice. She planned her lifestyle and said, well, every Thursday, at least, if not the whole day, let me start with half a day. I just want to be there alone with the Lord. Oh, just be there. No, it's not a time to read literature. It's just to be there with God and my Bible. You try it. And she did it very busy. And she's still doing it now. My Thursdays, I just want to be there alone with God. Half a day, maybe till 2, 1, at times 4, but just be, no agenda. It's not because I have a problem, I have a need. No, I just want to be there with the Lord, just be there alone. And the Lord did give her the opportunity, give her, because she created and she desired it. If you propose, God will perform. My friend said. And then there's another person based on the kingdom of God. A group of people. You've heard of Liberty, for example. A group of people who just sacrificed that were going to go and just bless people with the love of Jesus. When the medical team will go you know, doctors, nurses, pharmacists, you know, and other counselors, you know, just go to a village or a town setting for about a week or 5 days, do empowerment for young people, do training, run clinics, do free eye surgeries. We used to do that every year. And people will come from Europe, from US here. Sister Bumi and Sister Kim, you've been there before. Yes. Just to be there. And the villagers, oh, you make such impact. People who have been blind for, imagine somebody blind at home for maybe 4 years. No means of even getting to the hospital. And then you do a little surgery. Following day, they can see, ah! And they say, wow! And they tell their various people at home, see what God has done for me, those who have been struggling to help them. And the following Sunday, they will come to church. We've seen that happen. Follow out to church. And many of them are not just members in some of the churches. They are workers, effective workers. That's the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. People making sacrifices. And some of those people in England, you may be surprised, you think things are rosy. Some of them make real sacrifice to come. 1 year they'll be saving, you know, and all that, just to come because they sponsor themselves and all that. But the reward is great. That's what God wants. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That the wisdom we need to leave this world. Because every other thing we do will pass away. Only what is done for Jesus will last. And then number two is the wisdom of seeking and walking in divine will. The wisdom of seeking and walking in divine will. The book of Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on what? On your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. How then shall we live? Seeking and walking in divine will. The book of Psalm 37, verse 5. Psalm 37, verse 5. Okay, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Verse 7. It says, rest in the Lord, and what? And wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and what? And wait patiently for him. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 3. If I find it first, I'll read. We found it? Proverbs chapter 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be what? Will be established. Romans 12, 2. Romans 12, 2. Which we know very well. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, from verse 1. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Passion says, which is your spiritual act of worship. And verse 2 is where I'm going. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You see? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and what? Perfect will of God. When our minds are being renewed, we're going to know what is the perfect will of God. That's what we need to do in this end time. We need to walk in His will. Seek it. Desire it. God, what are you doing? What are you saying? What are you asking me to do? Many years ago, for those of us who come from the part of the world where we came from, as students, God was speaking to us. There was a missionary that God used so much in our lives. In Nigeria, he was an Englishman from Shrewsbury. And he came, and the Lord spoke to him to come to Nigeria, and specifically to come to a place called Elisha. And he left in 1937. He left Shrewsbury in 1937 and came to Elisha with an only daughter. At that time, you are not allowed to bring children to Nigeria because of malaria. You may not realize that, but that happened. By law, you couldn't. If they are less than so many years, maybe 3, I can't remember, 4. But somehow, because he went to Elisha and there was this Elisha hospital, Wesley Gilead Hospital and all that, they were able to convince them. I think she was able to come at the age of maybe 2 years, you know, thereabouts. And by the way, Sister Ruth Elton is still in Elisha now. She's an naturalized Nigerian, and she's there. And we are like family to her. And we still spoke about 3 weeks ago. Just before coming here, we had to still contact her about 2 weeks ago. So we are still in touch, yes. And she's there, influenced so many lives, so many lives. Some of the people that she used to take in Sunday schools are deputy governors and high up now, you know, and all that, that she was taking in school. And she's touched so many lives. But where am I going? When Papa Elton came to Nigeria in 1937, and then in the 70s, the Lord began to lead him to going to universities, where the university then, and he told us, he said, God is going to use Nigerians all over the world. We didn't understand what he was saying. Apart from the prophecy that your nation is going to be so corrupt and will be known for corruption over the world, but there's going to be a change, a sudden change. It will be known for righteousness later. People will come and learn righteousness. But that's not really where I'm going. Where I'm going today is the other things he also said, that God is going to send you out of that country to nations. We didn't understand at that time what he was saying. He was saying there's going to be such a move of the Holy Spirit, spiritual awakening. And that was a time when in places like Ibadan, you could count the number of real churches you could go to, you know, where you could hear the gospel and you could fit into as students, hardly, maybe 1, 2, 3. And he was saying that in the early 70s, trying to encourage us. He was saying, get all the education you can get now, because the time is coming, the Lord will need you. And lo and behold, that happened. There's no place you can go in the world now, anywhere you are, you will find them there, Christians, anywhere, everywhere. So what has that got to do with you is to realize you are fulfilling prophetic message. You are not here by accident. You are here by divine appointment. God has brought you to this land. And Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's. The world and they that dwell therein, the Lord has brought you here as his missionaries, his evangelists, his people in this land to be light and God's kingdom people in this land. You are not here by accident. And everywhere I go now, I tell people, you know, in Europe, you are not there by accident. God has brought you there for a purpose. Now stay put and fulfill your destiny here where God has chosen you, because the earth is the Lord's. The '70s. You can see what is happening now. All over the world, everywhere you go. Based on what God is doing. I also have something about Ukraine. Among the Christians, for many years, the Lord has been speaking to believers in Ukraine. You know Ukraine is the most evangelized country in Europe. Do you know that? Yeah. Ukraine is currently the most evangelized nation in Europe. And for many years, God has been speaking to them that, well, I'm going to use you around the nations, especially Europe. I'm going to use you there. And in the various fellowships, they've been praying, wondering how this will happen. And you know what happened in Ukraine? When the war started, they started to move to places, to Europe. In fact, there was a policy at that time where Europeans, especially the British, were taking them in homes. And they would pay the homes, the families, for bringing in Ukrainians. They were paying. Government was paying. And they are now scattered around the nations of Europe and US and Canada. And many of them Christians on fire for the Lord. Those who have insight know that the Lord is scattered them around the nations as salt and light. The nations. Yes, bad thing is happening there, but I tell you, good is also happening. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek and walk in divine will. Number three is the wisdom of seeking and living stress-free life. And this is where I want to dwell a bit. The wisdom of seeking and living stress-free life. The book of Ephesians that we've read, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. It says, I like the New Living Translation. It says, don't worry about anything. And it says, pray about everything. And something will happen. So you can put up right anything. You can project anything, everything, then something. Okay? Anything, everything, then something, if possible. He says, don't worry about what? Anything. I'm talking about the need to walk in the wisdom of living, seeking and living stress-free life. I can tell you, life can be stressful. But God does not want us to be stressed, to be anxious. He says, don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. And that's message for us. It doesn't matter where you are. There's always something to worry about. But the Lord is saying, as God's kingdom people, God's children, don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. Don't let anything trouble you, worry you. Don't live a life of anxiety. He's talking there about the responsibility of man. With something that you must propose and say, I'm not going to live a life of worrying. Don't make worry your lifestyle. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. That's the word of God for us. And we need that word, especially in times like this. You know, there are some people who are so used to worry, they worry when there's nothing to worry about. Like somebody who said, look, things have been going so well for me. I'm troubled, you know. He said, why are you troubled? He said, when things are going smoothly like this, I've been told that something bad is coming. So you worry about having nothing to worry about. So God is saying to us, don't live a life of worry. Be anxious for nothing. What he says, everything. Everybody say everything, please.
Everything.
You see, in everything, by prayer and what? Supplication with what? With thanksgiving. You see, in everything by prayer. And now, you know, it begins to analyze the type of prayer. You know, prayer is prayer. Supplication, you know, is prayer. Thanksgiving is prayer. But it says in everything by prayer. And then it goes to supplication. You know, supplication is, I'm told it comes from a Latin word, supplicare. It means to plead with humility. So when you are talking about supplication, it's not something you go and begin to think you can quote scriptures at God as if he didn't write it. The Lord wrote the Bible. He knows the Bible. So don't think because you know one or two or three scriptures, if I quote it at him, he's bound to do it. He knows what is written there. Supplication means going to plead with humility before God. Opening up to God and being sincere with him. Lord, this is where I am. This is who I am. Nothing to hide from you because he knows everything already. There's nothing to hide from God. Prayer and supplication. Going to him with humility. Pleading with humility. And when you are pleading before somebody, before a king or a judge, you are pleading. What do you do? What does that involve? When you plead, who will determine? Do you just say something and leave? Once, thank you. The word is wait. Pleading involves waiting. You've stated what you are desiring with humility. And then humility involves waiting on the judge, the king, to respond. You can't just dash in, dash out. No. Supplication. Everything. Prayer of supplication. And then what? Thanksgiving. You see, there's a song that says, count your blessings. Name them one by one. It will surprise you what the Lord has done. Always be thankful to God. We must not be so consumed by what we desire, what we need, and forget to thank him for what he has already done. You've heard the story before of somebody who kept saying, complaining, I need good shoes. no shoes. I don't have money to buy shoes. You've heard the story before. And they kept, you know, complaining, no shoes, no shoes, no shoes. And then one day, he saw somebody who had the money but had no legs to put on the shoes. And no artificial legs. Like we have nowadays. So he went and began to thank God and to praise God. There's always something you can praise God for. That's why it says, in all things, in everything, by what? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Be made known unto God. Not unto man first. No. Your request be made known to God first. Not man, not pastor, like us even first. To God first. Anything. Don't worry about what? Anything. Then everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You've heard of the story of a lady called Pandita Ramabai. Have you heard of that story of that lady? An Indian that he wanted to evangelize India many, many years ago. And she was very handicapped in the sense that life was harsh on her. Her only daughter died at the age of 40, so she was alone. No man, no child. Yet, she had this burning desire in her heart to evangelize and pour out her heart for India. And she had nothing, just her Bible, few clothes. And you know what she did? That's why I'm sharing this with you. That impressed me. What she did, and is what the Bible is recommending to us. I'm sorry, going to us. She mobilized 6 months prayer. That's all. 6 months. Began to pray. People to be praying along with her. Praying. Intercessory prayer for 6 months. I know what the Lord did for this lady. The last 12 years of her life on earth, she was feeding 20,000 people every day in the orphanage. 20,000 every day, the last 12 years of her life. You can calculate how much that will cost in US here to feed 20,000 people every day. That's what God can do. That's what God can do. In everything, by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And he says something is going to happen. So anything, everything, then the third is something. Something is going to happen when you do that. He says the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There's a peace of God that only Christ can give, that the world cannot give. He says, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Isaiah 9:6 says, Jesus Christ that we serve is the Prince of Peace. If Jesus is our Prince of Peace, then we need to have that peace of Jesus in our hearts. But there's something, there's a process that brings about permanently. In everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, is the giver of peace. In the midst of the trials that people face in the world, in the midst of the vicissitudes of challenges in the world, there's a peace. The wars and the rumors of wars, there is a peace that God gives his people, even in the midst of crisis. He says, that's what we need. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. How then shall we live? The wisdom of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The wisdom of seeking his will, the divine will in every aspect of our lives. And the wisdom of seeking and living stress-free life. Are we ready to live in divine wisdom? Are we ready? I want us to close our eyes. It's a very short message. And these are at individual level. All of us will pray for ourselves. You will pray for yourself. Pray for myself. There are three prayer points. You might add your own to it. The first is, we're going to pray, God, grant me the wisdom, the grace to seek first your kingdom and your lifestyle. Grant me that grace. It doesn't matter what is happening in the world around me. It doesn't matter what people are doing around or saying around. No, I want to live the kingdom lifestyle. Let's pray for that grace. Amidst the hustle and bustle of life, help me to seek you first. Number two, Lord, help me to walk in divine will. In other words, I want your word to be the standard of my life, not the world system, not the culture and the system of the world, no, not the fads of the world, no. Grant me the grace. Bible says, love not the world, but the things that are in the world. He that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, they are not of the Father. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, they are of the world. And he says, the world will pass away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. Lord, I want to do your will all the days of my life. I want us to pray that. And number three, I want us to pray, Lord, grant me the grace to live a stress-free life. Stress-free life. Life without anxiety or worry. Many of us, some of us, we've been carrying these burdens in our hearts. We've been carrying it in our hearts. But it says, cast your burdens upon me. You cannot cast and carry at the same time. Today, I want you to cast all the burden upon the Lord. Lord, you are my God, you are my Lord. I cast this burden on you permanently, Lord. The Lord is saying to us, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. The Lord is saying to us, don't borrow worry from tomorrow. Don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. Don't borrow anxiety from tomorrow. Some of us are facing challenges, and the Lord is saying, let me carry you. I will carry you. Let me carry you. Hallelujah. It's a song I want us to sing. I'd like us to rise up, sing that song, and I'm going to ask my wife to come and pray after that. If you know it, it's very nice. It's, I have made you too small in my eyes. You know it, you know the whole thing. Yes. Okay, can you lead us in singing it? Thank you.
I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh Lord, forgive me. And I have believed in a lie that you are unable to help me. But now, O Lord, I see my wrong. Heal my heart and show yourself strong. And in my eyes and with my song, O Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Be magnified, oh Lord. You are highly exalted, and there's nothing you can't do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Be magnified, oh Lord. You are exalted. There's nothing you can't do. Oh Lord, my eyes are on you. Be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified. Oh Lord, be magnified.
We magnify you, dear Lord, for your awesome presence in our midst today. We thank you for coming to dwell with us. As you promised, we thank you for making yourself manifest by speaking to us. Lord, your word says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. We ask for wisdom, Lord, to seek first your kingdom and its righteousness, to make seeking your kingdom our priority. Lord, help us to reorder our priorities, because we have wrong priorities in many areas. Please set us on the right path and help us to have the right priorities. We also pray, dear Lord, that you will help us not to run ahead of you, but in all our ways to acknowledge you, to carry you along in all our plans. We often say there's nothing too little to ask of you, but sometimes we forget, dear Lord. But Lord, from now on, help us to seek your will, to seek your guidance, to seek your direction in everything. Because you have promised to instruct us, to teach us the way we ought to go, to counsel us and watch over us. Lord, we came to that promise this week and every day of our lives. And we thank you that you will help us. Lord, we don't want to live stress-free. You said, don't worry about anything. These are days of anxiety. So much to be anxious about. So much rushing around. But this is not the kingdom lifestyle you have for us. Therefore, today we pray that you will help us in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to bring our request before you. Help us never to turn to man first, but to make you our God. The word says, blessed is he who trusts in the Lord, shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. We want your spirit to refresh us. We want to be led of you. We want to dwell in peace. We want your peace to rule in our hearts, so that the world will see that we are different. And they will come and ask us and say, why are you different? At work, they will say, you're always at peace. You are never stressed. Let this be our testimony and our experience, dear Lord. So we bless you for this congregation. We thank you for your plans and purposes, for your presence, for the pastors, for the leaders, for the men, the women, the boys, and the girls. We thank you for your great plans ahead. And we pray, Lord God, that we continue to abide here and to walk in our hearts, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. And so, Father, we bless you for the vessel you have used to speak to us. And we pray, Lord, that we fill him fresh with the Holy Spirit, that, Lord, we continue to walk with you and to finish his race strong. We bless you, dear Father, as we go forth into this week. We ask that your presence will go with us, and that as you test us like a good teacher on all the things you've spoken to us, we will pass every test. We will not fail you in any way. So blessed be your name, dear Father. We've come to say we love you and we appreciate you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God,